You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, while Marco Masilela may have made the comment that President Donald Trump at the moment appears to be all bark and very little bite, the South African conversation that's been happening with the United States has been quite an interesting one. Sanctions have been imposed, people have called other people other names, and many, many mean things have been said along the way. We're going to be taking a look at what this means for trade relations, where it puts South Africa, what our position is, what our position should be, and how we navigate these interesting times. I'm joined on the line by investment strategist at Old Mutual, Isaac Odendaal, to take a look at this. Mr. Odendaal, good evening. Lovely to catch up with you as always. I don't think that going into this year, I think you and I caught up in December of last year, and coming into this year, I never thought we'd be having this conversation. How are you feeling about what's been happening just from an investment point of view?
No, I don't think anyone expected that Trump would suddenly attack South Africa. And certainly not for the reasons he's given. I mean, obviously, South Africa has taken an opposing view to the U.S. in recent years on issues like, you know, the war in Gaza, the war in Ukraine, and so on. But to be attacked for what is essentially internal domestic politics, the Expropriation Act B, and so on, very unexpected. I think the first thing you want to say is, has anything fundamentally changed? Not much. The U.S. has cut off aid support to South Africa. That, you know, it's not small change, but ultimately South Africa is not as dependent on aid as other African countries. So, for instance, if he cuts off aid to, you know, Sudan or the DRC, I mean, it'll be catastrophic. But to South Africa, it's, you know, it affects our AIDS program, but our government can easily step in and cover that kind of those kind of costs. On the trade side, nothing's really changed yet. We don't have tariffs. I think there's a threat potentially of tariffs. I think probably the first step would be South Africa losing access through AGOA, which is a special act that gives African countries duty-free access into the U.S. So maybe that's the first domino to fall. But again, we don't know at this stage whether it's just been bluster or whether there's actual substance behind Trump's threats.
Isaac, when we look at that AGOA agreement and we look at the prospect of being removed from that, I know you and I touched on it last year and we kind of looked at the implications. Can we quantify how meaningful it will be towards us? Because there have been different sides of this conversation, different rhetorics on social platforms saying that we don't need to be part of AGOA. Some saying we need fundamental relationships with the US. Where do we stand on the actual impact it'll have on the South African economy?
Yeah, so as with many things in economics, the answer is it depends, right? because we might lose access to AGOA. It doesn't mean we lose those, you know, that export revenue completely. It might be that our firms would then have to absorb the impact of higher tariffs. It might mean that the currency weakens and therefore there isn't much impact on our overall competitiveness. So there are a lot of moving parts here. But if you just want to look at numbers, basically, total exports to the U.S. is about 8%. So 8% of our total export value goes to the U.S., which makes U.S. the second biggest single country trading partner in South Africa. So yes, we absolutely want to be good friends with the U.S. We absolutely want to be their partner, but it's 8% of the total. So it's not as we're dependent on one single country. For instance, if you're Mexico, 80%. Of your exports go to the U.S. And so for Mexico, this is an absolutely life-threateningly essential trading relationship that they need to maintain. For South Africa, it's an important one, but it's not necessarily existential. And then AGOA covers about 3%. So call it a third of the total exports that go to the U.S. is under AGOA. In other words, the other two-thirds just operate under normal kind of trade rules and WTO rules and so on. So we get special access for that one-third of trade that goes to the U.S. and the rest we don't. So again, you say, what will happen to that one-third if we lose AGOA? Yeah, it might become too expensive or uncompetitive for some of those export lines. Other export lines, maybe you cut the price, maybe the currency moves, as I said, Maybe you do something else to become competitive. So to give you a short answer, I think it will be a negative for South Africa's economy. If we had to lose a GOA access, it's not going to be catastrophic.
Mm. Last week, the Minister of the Department of Mineral Resources, Gwede Mantashe, mentioned that this is not a free conversation. The US and other parties around the world get mineral resources from the likes of South Africa. So this is not a one-sided street, but very much a two-sided street. Is that something that suggests that, from South Africa's perspective, we should be looking at imposing our own tariffs? I mean, China's done it. China's responded and retaliated. Canada's done it as well and responded and retaliated. Do we even have the scope within the South African picture to say, hey, we can do it too?
I don't think we have a huge amount of leverage over America, and I think it's kind of, to say that we're going to stop exporting minerals would be to shoot ourselves in the foot, or rather to cut our nose to spite our face, or, you know, whichever metaphor you want to choose. I mean, the reality is we do run a trade surplus with the US, so we export more to them than they export to us.
Mm.
So that does mean that they have more leverage than us, and obviously they're the much more powerful economy, and they can have leverage in other areas. You know, they have leverage through influence in multilateral institutions like the IMF and the World Bank. They have leverage through financial markets, through dominance of the dollar. They have leverage, for instance, through the FATF, where we want to try get off the grey list and so on. So unfortunately, I don't agree with Mr. Mantashe. I think it's important that we try and maintain these relationships as well as we can. Obviously, without sacrificing our sovereignty, you know, we don't want the U.S. telling us how to run internal politics. I don't think that's fair at all.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question: is how do you maintain the relations without jeopardizing your position, without looking like the weaker party? Understanding that obviously global dynamics are different, we understand that the president has kind of taken a slightly more mature approach, as has been described, to say let's talk about things like grown-ups and not throw things around. But how do you navigate that if you put that position forward and President Trump comes back and says I don't want to talk? How do you continue to be on civil terms without jeopardizing your economy, but also without putting your relationships at risk, I suppose?
Yeah, it's very difficult. And obviously, Trump presents something completely different. This is not how diplomacy normally works. And I think there are probably people more qualified than me to answer that. What I would say is I think Trump, the person, likes to win. And any kind of conclusion that makes him look like the winner, even if you make a very small concession, I think goes a long way, right? So if you look at what happened with Canada and Mexico, I mean, they made very, very small concessions. And Trump could claim a win, and he lifted the proposed tariffs on Canada and Mexico. So perhaps that's what you do. You give him something small. He looks like the winner, and maybe we swallow our pride a little bit. Ultimately, we need to look at the bigger picture. We need to look at the longer game, you know, our foreign policy should serve our domestic interest, and our domestic interest is to grow the economy, to create jobs, and so on. And I think the U.S. plays a very important part in that story. At the same time, obviously, we want to try keep diversifying our export base. We want to keep maintaining strong, you know, we're going to grow markets in China and India and so on. I mean, despite our membership of BRICS, we actually have very low import penetration into those countries. So there's a lot to gain also from strengthening our ties with other countries, other large economies in the so-called global south. So I think the key for us really is just to be quite nimble and quite clever in how we approach diplomacy.
Mm.
Certainly far more than we've been in the past.
Isaac, are we still bullish on South Africa from an investment point of view in light of everything that's happening globally?
Yes, and I think South Africa is one of the few countries at the moment where there's sort of a self-help story, you know, where we are implementing domestic reforms and much of the, if you look at the, for instance, the GDP growth forecast for South Africa, the consensus forecast over the next 2 years points to an improvement, and that improvement is primarily driven by domestic factors. It's more investment locally, it's better consumption locally. So we're not that dependent in this growth story on the global environment playing out. Again, contrast us with Mexico. It's extremely extremely at risk in terms of the trade wars. But I think what this whole episode hopefully reminds us all is that, you know, we do need to get our own house in order. We do need to push through with these reforms, reforming the economy, reforming the capacity of the state, because the global environment is more uncertain. And because it is more uncertain, we do need to do things right in South Africa. We need to get the basics right. We do need to, you know, make our economy much more competitive and much more productive. So there's a lot of work that we can do internally, and hopefully we kind of push ahead with that. And if we do, then yes, South Africa remains a compelling investment destination. And maybe just the other point is that clearly already a lot of uncertainty is baked into financial markets around, if you look at valuations of, for instance, the currency and so on. So, and those low valuations also typically make a country like South Africa an attractive investment option.
We can help ourselves. You love to hear it. That's the news we want to hear. We'll leave the conversation there, Isaac. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Isaac Odendaal, investment strategist at Old Mutual, joining us to take a look at the trade relations following the latest developments out of the US and what it means for South Africa.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.